our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Lord, thank you for this season. Lord, may this season be used mightily to bring many into your kingdom. I pray that you would draw many into your kingdom at this time of year. And then, Lord, for those who belong to you, we are so grateful that you have given us instruction on how you want us to live lives to maximum potential. And Lord, thank you for the wisdom that you give us in your word that touches every single area of our lives. This morning, I thank you for the admonishment, the encouragement that you're going to give us as parents. Lord, bless our efforts as parents. Bless those children that you've loaned to us. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I first went to college, I had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up. No idea at all. And so my parents suggested that I would just go to school and take a number of different courses from different disciplines, just get a taste of different things and see what I might like and what I might pursue. So in that spirit, I took an introductory course to psychology. And in that first week of psychology, I learned that my parents had ruined me. I learned that my parents had completely raised me wrong. I mean, there was a list that the professor put up, how parents should raise kids, and my parents broke every rule. I remember them saying, you should never scare a child. So a mom should never say, go to your room and wait till your father gets home. My mom did that all the time. And then, of course, you learn in that school, you're never, ever supposed to spank a child. And I got to tell you, my little seat cushion got handed to me a lot. And then we were told in that class, you should reason with children, get their perspective on things, give them a seat at the table. There was none of that at my house. Here's how reasoning went. Son, do it now. Why, Dad? Because I said so. That's how reasoning went, at least when I was very young. By the standards of that class, I should be a psychopath. But I'm not. I think I turned out all right. And my parents, God bless them. They were wise. I am so grateful that I grew up with parents who parented the biblical way. Christian parent, we have a tough job, don't we? It's difficult to be a parent. The whole process begins with labor, right? And it stays laborious. There is a lot of emotional energy. There's a lot of physical energy. There's a lot of mental energy, financial energy, and spiritual energy that goes in to raising a child. And to make matters worse, as Christian parents, we are living and trying to raise up kids in a society that disdains the biblical principles for parenting. And trying to raise your kids the way the Bible tells you to raise your kids, people look down on you. They make fun of you. They disdain you. And we are raising kids in a society where most kids are not being raised. Listen, most kids today are raising themselves. or being raised by TV or the internet or friends at school. And I don't have to tell you, you can read the news, you've seen all the stories, the situation is bleak for our youth, for kids. The issues, the pressures the children are facing today is unbelievable compared to what we used to face. In high school, kids are dealing with the issue of homosexuality, bisexuality. I will tell you, as a pastor, I have dealt with that on multiple fronts with young high school kids in this fellowship. There is drug abuse in the mid-high. Kids are beating up teachers, capturing that on their video phones, and then putting that up on YouTube. Kids are beating one another, and then putting that up on YouTube. I heard the tragic story of a young high school lady. Maybe you caught this in the news as well. She took a picture of herself in the nude, and sent that to her boyfriend, and of course a week later they broke up. And the boyfriend dispersed that nude picture of her to all of her friends and multiple different schools, and everybody got it, and everybody would make fun of her and say all kinds of horrible things to her. Well, a year ago she committed suicide. The issues are crazy. Children have it very tough. It's very messy. Listen to what one author wrote, and this from several years ago. He says, "Whoa, what in the world is happening with our kids today? Let's see, I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hare complained that she didn't want any prayer in our schools. And we said, okay. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we said, okay. Remember Dr. Benjamin Spock, who said we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave? Because their little personalities would be warped, and we might damage their self-esteem. And we said, okay, we won't spank them. Then someone said that teachers and principals better not discipline our children when they misbehave. And our administrator said, whoa, no one in this school better touch a student when they misbehave because we don't want any bad publicity and we don't want to be sued. Then someone said, let's let our daughters have abortions if they want. And we won't even have to tell their parents. And we said, that's a grand idea. Then someone else said, let's give our sons all the condoms they want so they can have all the fun they desire and we won't have to tell their parents. And we said, another great idea. And then some of our top officials said that it doesn't matter what we do in private as long as we do our jobs. And we said, as long as I have a job and the economy is good, it doesn't matter to me what anyone does in private. So now we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill. Probably, if we think about it long and hard enough, we can figure it out. I think it has to do with we reap what we sow. Whoa, what a concept. Christian parent, how are you going to be a wise parent in this society? How are you going to prepare your kids for life? How are you going to raise them up in this society? Well, I believe the book of Proverbs has answers. Good answers. And I want you to consider three responsibilities that we have as parents this morning from the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at three, and that's not including the obvious responsibility of taking care of our kids. Obviously, making sure they have the shelter and the food and all that they need from a physical standpoint. Christian parents, three responsibilities that I'd like for you to see this morning. And the first is found in verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 22. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Number one, priority, responsibility for us as Christian parents. Our number one responsibility is to train up our own children. That's number one. That responsibility is not the responsibility of the school system, though the school can help, but it's meant to be a supplement. It's your priority, parent, to train up your child. That is not the responsibility of child care. It's your responsibility, parent. It is not the responsibility of the children's ministry at church, although we want to do everything we can to help raise kids in the ways of the Lord. But again, only a supplement. Parent, it's your responsibility. It's not the responsibility of grandma or grandpa. They can help. But parent, it is your responsibility. And it's been the responsibility of parents to train up their children. Throughout the scripture, you see it in every era. Here in the time of Solomon, Solomon says, train up a child in the way he should go. In the days of Moses, Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And then Paul, of course, in the New Testament era, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Parent, you are a child trainer. Your job is to train your kids. And this word in the Hebrew, train up, is very, very strong. It's a word that speaks of training up elite soldiers in an elite military group. Training up dignitaries in a king's court. So we are talking about training up our children so they become top-notch people in society. Top-notch men and women of God in the kingdom of God. Amen, parents? There's a wonderful verse that Kim and I shared with our kids. You probably know it. It's in Psalm 127. Let me just read it to you. We were talking about this the other day. The psalmist says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children's of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. We were talking with our kids about that, and I said, Connor, Dylan, do you like bows and arrows? And of course, they love bows and arrows. They'd shoot anything with a bow and arrow, right? And they said, well, what's a quiver? I said, quiver is what you make mom and dad do all the time. No, I'm just kidding. A quiver is something that you put on your back and it holds the arrows. And in that verse, little Connor, little Dylan, little Lindsay, you're mommy and daddy's arrows. And you're in the quiver on our back. And our job is to make you sharp. Our job is to make you the sharpest little girl and the sharpest couple of boys that we can possibly make you into. And so that when we take that arrow out and it's 18, 19 and they're going and we shoot them out into life, they hit the mark. And they're cutting edge. They're warriors for the Lord. They're strong. They're top-notch. That's our job. That is the primary job of a parent, to train up a child. This type of training takes discipline. It takes consistency. It takes time. It takes energy. And it takes dedication. And I would say, start the process as early as possible. One author said, it's not hard to make a child or a tree grow right if you train them when they're young. But to make them straighten out after you've allowed things to go wrong is not an easy matter. Start quickly. Maybe you might be kicking yourself for not starting soon enough. Don't kick yourself. Start now. Get in there and train up those kids. Now, parent, what are we supposed to train up our children in? Everything. Everything. Mom and dad, we are to teach our kids life skills. We are to talk to our kids and teach them and train them about everything that they might encounter in this life. That's what Solomon does with his son throughout the book of Proverbs. How to manage money. How to deal with relationships. How to study. How to work. Every single issue in life, we should be training up our kids. Don't leave that for other experts. You do it. And I know it's hard, especially when you have young kids and you're trying to teach them, you know, how to help you with chores or whatnot. I'll admit, it's a drag sometimes when Connor and Dylan say, hey, let me help you chop down that tree. Because if I let them help me, it's going to take me, you know, at least 3 more hours. And I'm probably going to have to redo it, but it's worth it to sit down with that kid and train them, teach them, instruct them in every area of life. Dad, do that. Mom, do that. That is your job according to the scripture. It seems to me in this verse as well that it speaks of the individualness of a child. Look at verse 6 again. Train up a child in the way he should go. And so the idea is from this verse, we are to treat all of our children individually. We are to look at their own personalities and we're to, you know, give them custom training for them, for each child. Mom, dad, don't try to impose all of your stuff on your kid. Don't try to impose your own occupation. Don't say, your great-grandfather was a lawyer, your grandfather was a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, and by golly, you're going to be a lawyer too. Teach each child along his or her natural talents, their interests, what they're good at. Really make that effort. Parent, you know what that means? You're going to have to study your children. You got to study them. You got to give them all sorts of opportunities and experiences and watch how they react. Watch what they like. Watch what they're good at. And goad them along in what you've noticed they already like and they're already good at. You know, my wife and I, Kim, one of our favorite conversations to have is to just talk about what we've learned about one of our kids. Hey, did you notice this about Lindsay? Did you notice this about Dylan? I think Dylan's going to be our little techie. Anything goes wrong with the computer and everyone asks Dylan to help. And so we see this natural technical bent in Dylan. So we goad him along in that, and we see some natural talent in Connor and Lindsay. And mom, dad, it takes time to study those kids, train them up along what God is, what you see God doing in them and through them. And then, without a doubt, the most important training that we are to give our kids is raising them up in the Lord. As Christian parents, we are to train up our children in the Lord. Mom, dad, you are to be their spiritual teachers. You need to be able to teach your kids about salvation, how to get saved. Oh, dad, teach your kid about God. Oh, mom, teach your kids about God. Teach them the scripture. Teach them the importance of church. Teach them how to evangelize. Teach them the Christian faith. You have got to do that. You can't leave that for other people. Though other people can help, it's got to come from you. And you know what? It means the most coming from you. I remember growing up. I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up in the church, and I heard lots and lots of sermons, and I had lots of youth leaders, and I went to lots of retreats and camps. But you know what I remember the most as a kid? My dad taking me through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 as a teenager. My dad taking my brother and I through the book of Proverbs when we were elementary. That sticks with you. Mom, dad, raise your kids up in the ways of the Lord. Train them up in the scripture. Of course, that would mean teaching them the Bible, teaching them to pray the moment they can talk. Teaching your kids how to read the Bible for themselves. Have personal devotions, no doubt. Formal times where the family gets together and you sit down and you study the Word. But also teach your kids how to have their own devotions. Their own time. I was so blessed a couple weeks ago. I found Lindsay's journal. She's 11. And she doesn't know better to hide it yet at this age. But she's 11, and it was right out there on the sofa. I didn't go looking for it. Come on. It was right out there on the sofa. And, here she is, 11 years old, and she's getting up, and she's reading her Bible, and she's having these entries in her own journal. God, it's so beautiful. Where she's writing little things that she's learning from the Word. Work for that. And it doesn't have to just be formal times. Do it informally. Look for spontaneous moments to teach your kids. You know, that's what I loved about Jesus. Jesus, when he taught his disciples, he did things real spontaneously, it would seem. He's leaving the upper room, and he's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they walk by a vineyard, and he says to his disciples, I'm the vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Just in that spontaneous moment, found something to teach the disciples about her. I'm certain that when Jesus told that parable of the sower sowing seed, he probably pointed at a guy. See that guy sowing seed? Let me tell you, there's a sower sowing seed, and then he tells that parable. Or then he goes to those disciples, those first guys, and they're fishermen, and you can see them on the shores, all the fishing equipment around, and Jesus said, come on, I'll make you fishers of men. Just real spontaneous in the moment. Parent, look for that. Look for that. It says in Deuteronomy that we should train them up when? All the time, when we rise up, when we're on the way. Looking for all kinds of opportunities to share spiritual truth with your kids. Look for it. Those opportunities will present themselves often. When you're driving to church, when you're driving home, when you're driving for shopping, when you're out and about. I think a great time to talk about spiritual truth is maybe after you've seen a movie or a show on TV. Let's face it, a lot of kids do that. And hey, bring out the spiritual elements. Talk about what was wrong in the show. Look for those important, teachable moments. It's been said children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. Christian parent, your responsibility is to make sure there's a whole lot of wisdom from heaven falling on your kid. And when there's worldly wisdom falling on your kid, be quick to smooth it out. Work hard. Train your children. That is number one, discipline. Let's look at another discipline. Look over at Proverbs 13, or another responsibility, I should say. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. That's your second responsibility as a parent. Discipline your children. Let me say that again. Your second responsibility, an important responsibility as a parent, is to discipline your children. Discipline has the idea of correction. It's correcting bad behavior, and it's reinforcing good behavior. As a parent, if your kid is acting up, you are to correct that bad behavior, and you do that through discipline, through something that's painful, through consequences, in the hopes that they will stop doing that bad behavior. Discipline. I think discipline can take many shapes and forms. It's very clear in the scriptural that corporal punishment is affirmed by the scriptures. The rod is mentioned here, the paddle. And I think that that is something that's very controversial today. And I think that's something that parents must be very, very careful with. There is no way that the Bible would agree with anything that would be called physical abuse, punching a kid, drawing blood, making bruises. But I really don't think there's anything wrong with harmless swats on the buttocks, on the hands, especially when they might be a little bit younger. That does work. It's very effective. Now, when kids get older, that doesn't work anymore. And so, parents, you have to come up with more creative ideas. Grounding works very well. Taking things away. In fact, if you want to watch a kid lose their mind, take away their cell phone for a week. Some of the teenagers just said, "Preacher, stop it." The idea is you have got to train up your kids and you have got to discipline them. You got to correct that bad behavior. Now, there's lots of parents and they're like, "But I don't want to be a mean parent. I want to be a cool parent. I want to be friends with my kids." Your child is going to have many, many friends throughout their life. Your child is going to have one dad, one mom. No one else will occupy that place in the life of your child except for you. You are to occupy a place of authority, special place of authority, and a special place where you are raising up and you are training. And they are to know that you are in authority. You can become friends later. And you know what? That happens. That happens. When I was growing up, mom and dad were mom and dad. You know? And it's really weird when you get into like your 20s and stuff. You begin to see your parents in a different light. Yeah, they're people. Yeah. And it's really weird. I don't know if you've experienced that, but when you reach your 20s, all of a sudden it's like you do become friends with mom and dad. Very, very good friends, and you relate on the same level, but you can't have that growing up. They are mom and they are dad. Shoot for the friendship there. You know, there were some kids in high school when I was growing up, and they had parents that were cool. I think there's still parents out there like that. And these parents would let all the high school kids come over and party at their house. These parents would even buy beer for the kids. And, you know, they're cool. You know what, though? I used to look at those parents. I had no respect for them. They were on the same level as my high school friends. Mom and Dad, stand up and take your place of authority and occupy that place of respect as you raise up those kids. I love what this guy writes. He said, "We have the meanest parents in the whole world. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, we had to have cereal, eggs, and toast. When others had a Pepsi and a Twinkie for lunch, we had to eat sandwiches. And you can guess our parents fixed us a dinner that was different than other kids had too. Our parents insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we were convicts in a prison. They had to know who our friends were and what we were doing with them. They insisted that if we said we would be gone for an hour, we'd be gone for an hour or less. We were ashamed to admit it, but they had the nerve to break child labor laws by making us work. We had to wash the dishes, make the beds, learn to cook, vacuum the floor, do laundry, and all sorts of cruel jobs. I think they would always lay awake at night thinking of more things for us to do. They always insisted on telling the whole truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. By the time we were teenagers, they could read our minds. And things really got tough. They wouldn't let our friends just honk the horn when they drove up. They had to come up to the door so they could meet them. When everyone else could date when they were 12 or 13, we had to wait till we were 18. Because of our parents, we missed out on a lot of things other kids experienced. None of us have ever been caught shoplifting, vandalizing others' property, or ever arrested for any crime. It was all their fault. We never got drunk, took up smoking, stayed out all night, or a million other things kids do. Sundays were reserved for church, and we never missed once. We knew better than to ask to spend the night with a friend on Saturday. Now that we have left home, we are all God-fearing, educated, honest adults. We are doing our best to be mean parents just like our parents were. The world just doesn't have enough mean parents anymore. Discipline works. Using your authority as father, mother works. Proverbs 29 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Proverbs 22, verse 15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it from him." This scripture that we just saw says, basically, if you don't discipline your child, you hate your child. If you discipline your child, you love your child. Very, very important to discipline. It leads to greater things. It drives out foolishness. It trains them up. Parent, if you're disciplining your child, you are going to spare them from future hurts, future pain. You know, the little kid that wants to touch the pretty orange burner on the stove. You going to let them do that? It's so pretty. Go touch it. No. Get that hand away. Get that hand away. What are you sparing them from? A burn. That kid that wants to go play out in the street. Are you going to correct that behavior? You better. See, I have a theory. I believe that all kids eventually get disciplined. All kids get disciplined. They'll either be disciplined by their parents in a controlled, loving atmosphere, or they'll become wild and crazy and grow up and get disciplined by other people, like, say, fellow gang members. And let me tell you what, when gang members discipline, it's pretty ugly. Or maybe they grow up and they get disciplined by the court system, by jail, by prison. Discipline them now. Raise them up. Correct that behavior. One more responsibility I'd like you to look at. Turn to chapter 20, Proverbs 20, verse 7. Check this out. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So, a righteous father walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. A righteous mom walks in her integrity and her children are blessed after him. What is Solomon getting at that? I think he's getting at the example that we as parents are to set for our kids. We are to live a righteous life in the sight of our kids. In other words, mom and dad, it's not enough just to train, talk a lot, teach a lot, and discipline a lot. Mom, dad, you need to walk what you talk in front of your kids. You need to be that example. You need to love Jesus with all your heart. Your faith needs to be real. You need to be growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. They need to see your commitment to church. They need to see your commitment to the Scripture. You've got a role model, and you role model everything in life. How to handle finances, etc., etc., etc. They're watching every move you make, and kids watch every move we make, don't they? And they're smart. I know they put on those dumb looks a lot of the time, you know, kind of, but they're smart. They know what's going on. Things are working in there. And they know when a parent isn't being real. They know. Do you love Jesus? Do you serve him? Do you follow him? Do your kids know it? I found this quote by a brilliant writer of literature and plays. Lived most of last century. His name's Peter DeVry. And in one of his works, he wrote, "Who of us is mature enough for offspring before the offspring themselves arrive?" He says, "The value of marriage is not that adults produce children, but that children produce adults." I think that's brilliant. You know, I don't think I even really began to grow up till I had kids. I had no idea. But as a parent, you've got to grow up. You got to put your money where your mouth is. You got to live that life right in front of your kid. Let them see a mom and dad that are growing. So what three responsibilities do we have as parents? According to Proverbs, number one, train them up. Number two, discipline them in a loving way, productive way. And then number three, model for them life in every respect. And what do you get in return? What's the reward? Well, it's a great blessing. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." You're training that kid up in a way that he'll never forget. And though there might be times and ups and downs in the spiritual development of your kids as they get older, they won't forget their training. They'll return to it. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 24 and 25 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father be glad and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." You will rejoice. You will be blessed. Those arrows are shot out. It won't be bitterness to you. It won't be shame. And I love this one. Proverbs 29, verse 17 says, "Correct your son, and he will give you rest." How many of you parents want rest? Yes. He will give delight to your soul. Take it serious. Get on the ball. Be that wise Christian parent that you need to be. Now, I realize in a message on parenting, there's all sorts of circumstances represented here, and there can be a lot of guilt associated with this subject. Some of you are living with guilt because you've had kids grow up and they've gone astray and you're concerned and you feel really guilty. Listen, if you truly did all that you could as a Christian parent when they were growing up, man, trust the Lord with your kid. I know it's very difficult, but you got to release them. They are grown up. They do make their own decisions now. Release them into the loving care of your Father. Keep praying for them and keep being a witness to them. Maybe you're here and your kids have grown up and things aren't going as like they should, obviously. And you could say, yeah, you know what? I was a pretty lousy parent. I didn't do the job. Maybe you didn't know Jesus Christ. Maybe you weren't a Christian then. Have you ever sat down with your son or daughter in that situation and had that real heart-to-heart with them since you've come to Christ? Have you ever sat down with that son, with that daughter, and said, you know, I am so sorry for the way I was. I didn't know any better. I was selfish. But Jesus has come into my life. Now he's changed my life. And let me try to be a better dad for you now. Have you had that heart-to-heart? That could go a long way. I could go a long way. Maybe you're here this morning and you're the parent and you're having a hard time with kids and it's been and there's all kinds of issues in your home. But maybe you don't have faith. Maybe you're not a Christian yet. Listen, you can't raise kids without God's help. You can't be a good dad without God's help, a good mom without God's help. You need Him in your life. So I'm going to invite you in just a few moments. Just give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. Invite Him into your life and ask Him to heal your home. Let's all bow our heads and we'll close our eyes. And actually, I would like our parents to go ahead and stand to your feet. If you're a parent, lots of us. Should have said, no, this is great. Let's pray for these parents. Lord, what a holy calling it is. What an incredible responsibility. What a joy, though, that you have given kids. I ask, Lord, that you would encourage the parents this morning in a wonderful way in their responsibilities as parents. Lord, I pray where there needs to be correction, there would be correction. Lord, I pray for the health of these homes represented. Most importantly, I pray for the spiritual health of these homes. Protect the kids under these parents' care. Father, give these parents great wisdom and discernment in raising up their children. And then, Lord, I'd like to also pray for those who are not parents and would like to be, that you would bless them. I pray for those that are parents and have not been, or would like to be parents and have not been able to become parents. God, I pray that you would comfort them, but that you would also give them an outlet to work in the process of raising up children. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may all be seated. You know, in Proverbs, we've been looking through the family. We talked about husbands. We talked about wives. We talked about parents. Next time together in Proverbs, we'll talk about children and the family unit. So important and so beautiful. And one of the things I love about the church is called a family. The church is a spiritual family. We have a whole lot of brothers and sisters. Worldwide, in fact. And one of my favorite things to ponder on in the Christian faith is in the scripture, we are told that we can call God Dad. That God can be our Dad, our Heavenly Father. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know that he's a great parent, isn't he? Oh, he trains us, he instructs us, he disciplines us when we get off course. Talk about modeling how life should be lived. He allowed his son to come here and showed us exactly how to live. He loves us, he cares for us. At communion, we gather to remember the sacrifice that was made so that we could become children in the family of God. Jesus, the Son of God, did come, lived a perfect life, and on that first Good Friday, he went to the cross. Scripture says the sins of the world were placed upon him. He bled and died for our sins. Was buried, was put in a tomb. 3 days later, arose from the grave. He's victorious today. He's living today. And the Bible says if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, all of your sins will be forgiven. You'll become born again. And you become a child at that moment in the family of God. Have you done that? I'm going to have the guys come up. I'd like you to bow your heads, close your eyes. The communion service is for believers. It is for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. It's a family meal. So before you partake of these elements, if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do so right now. Let Him change your life. Everything about your life. If there's anybody here who has never received Christ, through a simple prayer, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. Say in the quietness of your heart, say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for the sacrifice that you have made. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I invite you to be my Savior, be my Lord. Change me. If you said that prayer, you meant it genuinely from your heart. You have become born again. You become a child of God, and I invite you to partake freely. For those of us that know the Lord, let's rejoice as we remember what He has done. We're going to pass these out. I would ask that you would hold on to your elements and we'll all take them together as a body.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet, now we're nailed to a tree. This grace flows down and covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet, now we're nailed to a tree.
His grace flows down and covers me. And covers me. And covers me. Covers me. And covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down. Hands and feet that were nailed to a tree. His grace flows down and covers me. Covers me.
Me. covers me. Covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. His grace flows down and covers me. From hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. His grace flows down and covers me.
Ed's going to pray for our bread.
Your word says, Lord, that as often as we do this, to do it in remembrance of you. And we do remember, Lord, your sacrifice on our behalf. And we thank you for that, Lord. And it's in your name that we pray and we worship and we honor you. Amen.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
O precious Father, how we are grateful for the blood of Christ that cleanses from the stain of all sin. Having done what no other blood could do, not the blood of bulls nor of goats, it has once and for all redeemed us, purchased us, and given us eternal life. For indeed the life is in the blood of Christ, and his blood now flows through our veins. As we are your children, adopted into your family, purchased by that blood that still has the power this very hour to transform lives today. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for willingly shedding your blood that we might be called the children of God.
Amen.
Amen.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's all take together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed to receive Christ this morning, if you said that prayer, there's going to be some guys and gals up here that will counsel you and just say, "I prayed that prayer," and they'll share with you more about your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that you tell someone. Let's all stand, and you can pass your cups to the center. Guys will get it, and let's finish with a song of celebration, rejoicing.